Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. I'm Erica Spiegelman.
And I'm Marcia Stone.
And we are so excited to be here with you guys. Our intention for our podcast is to have conversations around wellness, inspiration, and support. And, you know, I think today's guest embodies all of that. We're very excited to welcome Rochelle Robinette on our show. And she's an herbalist, an educator, a lifelong naturalist. She's the founder and sole self-funded owner of Pharmacon Supernatural, and it's a New York-based globally spirited company dedicated to modern herbalism education. I was just taking a look at Rochelle's Instagram, and I got to see a little slice of her life through pictures, and just what a cute store you have. And I mean, cute is the wrong word, but it's inspirational to me, but it's very aesthetically beautiful. And it looks like your life revolves around just basic, you know, health and education and helping people understand how herbs can really change our lives. So we're really excited to talk to you. Welcome to the show, Rochelle. And just wanted to ask you how you became interested in herbalism and how did this all come to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you. And you're right. My life does revolve around these things. It's work, it's life, it's passion, it's really everything to me. So I love it and I'm really just immersed in it all of the time. So how it came to be, I mean, that's kind of how it came to be, which is, you know, I grew up on a farm and I had parents in sort of Eastern and Western medicine. My mom is a nutritionist and a dietitian and was very supportive of my exploring any kind of whim. So I, you know, was early interested in like magic and health food stores and like potions and all these different things. And she's like, great, let's go find a, you know, pendulum, tarot cards, you know. And then, you know, my dad was Western medicine. He was an anesthesiologist and like meat and potatoes and medicine. And I think, you know, I was steeped in ideas about nature and the human body and the relationship between what we consume and how it affects us from a very early age. And I, of course, wanted to move to New York and work in fashion. I wanted nothing to do with health and dirt and, you know, plants. And but I lived this on the side, you know, nonstop. Like my nutrition has always been, you know, extremely important to me. My health practices have always been really important. So long story short, I was in New York. I was working in fashion. I was doing all this stuff on the side. And the world started to ask me to share it, you know, more publicly. And so I kind of came out of the closet and, you know, began to be really my truest self, which was what I had been doing on nights and weekends. And, I started writing and teaching and launched a product line. And, you know, over the last several years, it's grown into an entire, you know, ecosystem that is supernatural. So long story short-ish.
I love the name. I love the name too, Supernatural. I think it's just such a great name.
Thank you.
It looks a lot like travel is an important part of your journey and your exploration. What's the deal with that? Do you just love to travel or is it all around herbalism or sort of both?
I'm so glad you asked. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. I love to travel. You're right. I do. I love it. And, a lot of it is related to kind of my own personal journey. So I'll travel by myself a lot and I'll go, yeah, like on a retreat or into experiences that are challenging to grow myself, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of that.
I think one wanderlust can recognize another one. So I guess, you know, I was connecting with you a little bit there. Right?
Oh, yeah. Me too.
All three of us.
I see you.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes it's pleasure only, sometimes it's alone, and then more and more retreats and like inviting my community into those spaces that I find that's becoming a little bit more of it. But it's delicate balance, you know, because I need my I need my retreats too, so I can't always invite everyone to join me.
Rochelle, in our community, a lot of people that Marcia and I work with, you know, are kind of in the process. Well, actually, I think it's an ongoing process of always trying to do our best to stay balanced and learning about, you know, different ways. I mean, especially for me in my own health journey, of like different ways for me to add value in terms of like learning new tools and tips and things that can, you know, like I was just saying before we started, like, for my digestive tract, like, you know, what will help that? And I think because, you know, for me and Marcia, like health and wellness is important. So we want to stay, you know, kind of based around organic and local, like herbs, local fruits, local everything. You know, I think we both appreciate that kind of lifestyle. So like for people that aren't familiar with this, what is something that somebody, you know, should know about herbs and like how we can just begin to get to know them in our lives? Because I think it's intimidating for a lot of people. They're like, where do I get them? How do I know what to ask for? You know, I mean, at least for beginning. Yeah. So what are just some like basic things people could kind of start to incorporate herbs in their lives, or at least try teas or, you know, something?
Yeah, it's true. Well, I feel like there are two things that come to mind when you ask that. And one is, you know, the concept of herbalism in general, like I think a lot of people will come to me with that notion, oh, you're an herbalist, so you'll teach me about herbs. And yes, I most definitely will. But herbalism is very holistic. So any herbalist will probably say, yeah, I'll teach you about herbs, but first let's talk about food. And then let's talk about sleep and exercise and like breath.
So addressing the whole self.
Yeah. It is. And that is why I love it. I mean, I love plants, but I wouldn't be in this if it were that sort of focused, because I think that the human system needs that. I mean, we know the human system needs the whole, you know, the holistic approach. So herbalism is very much that. And I think that's a misunderstanding, not no fault in any direction. It just isn't what we think of necessarily with an herbalist all the time. But, you know, when you get those other things, like you mentioned, eating well and drinking good water and that sort of thing down, herbs are such an exciting next step. And I think for people who are interested in herbs, tea is a very, very good place to start. Tea is easy to kind of dismiss as like basic or simple or ineffective or whatever, but it's none of those things, you know. It can be just as effective as taking a vitamin or a supplement. The other nice thing about teas is that you get to see the plant, you get to taste it. Totally. You can have fresh herb teas. You can have dry herb teas. And if we skip straight to taking things in capsules or tinctures or even powders, it's easier to lose a relationship or just skip the relationship phase, realizing like this is a plant and it may grow, you know, 20 feet from your home, you know. So I think that for me too was a really magical, and I think for a lot of people, it's a really magical phase when you start to then go out into your world, even if you live in New York City, and you see these plants and you realize, oh, that's a medicine and that's a food. And these are like allies and friends and just things that I know now that are surrounding me. And it just becomes this sort of really exciting and warm sort of relationship with nature. So tea is great. Yeah. And then the other thing that I like to recommend is, you know, if you've already done tea and you're comfortable with that, or you want to take the next step, to just kind of work with one blend at a time and really, again, get to know it. I think we don't have to jump into, you know, a really complicated routine. And it's important to try something and stick with it and really understand how it works for you. And I think consistency, you know, is hard just on its own. So you get kind of a dual, you know, a dual lesson there. But moving slowly through the plant world and really understanding how something affects you is rewarding, as opposed to just kind of dabbling in a whole bunch of different places and not really, you know, connecting. So,
yeah. Yeah. And how do people find out, you know, sort of the guides that you have? Do you do one-on-one coaching with people, or is this all on your website, or like, where are the different sort of levels or plans to, you know, to just kind of ease your way into learning about these things and incorporating them in your life?
Yeah. So I used to do a ton of one-on-ones, and I have my private practice is basically full and closed for the near future, just because I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to reach
You're
more
busy.
People.
Yeah. Right. Sure. Of course. Yeah.
So
we get that right, Eric.
it's an amazing experience for everybody, but at some stage it becomes a little unsustainable. So I have online classes for that reason now. So anybody can take, you know, any of the classes at any time. Or, you know, walk into my cafe or walk into any herbal shop or health food store or place that carries herbs and say, you know, I get headaches sometimes, or I have this, you know, skin flare up, or I'm having trouble sleeping. Like, tell me about some herbs for that, and just start there, you know.
Just asking questions is that's always such good advice. And I think something that a lot of people, like Erica was saying earlier, are a little bit intimidated to do. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to look like you really don't know what you're asking, mm-hmm. but you know, that's the way to start. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. It's confusing but I think we all have so many ailments that go on in different chapters, mm-hmm. like seasonally, or like, you mm-hmm. know, if you That's have kids, true. You're exhausted. I have two little kids, or, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, like, and I have like, you know, ongoing, like sometimes digestion issues around like certain foods like garlic or onion, you know, there's always, everyone has, like you said, individually, we all go through like waves in terms of like our physical health and then our,
or even,
you know,
seasonal allergies
mm-hmm. and our environment. Yeah. Yes, so it's kind of interesting. If I walked into like what do I choose to work on first? Like you said, focus on a blend. How do we know like what blend to kind of choose? But I guess with talking to somebody who has the knowledge around that, you could kind of suss out what it is that would probably hopefully improve your life in the short term and the long term, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, I think yes, definitely. And you know, there's nothing wrong with just starting with one ailment or one challenge, because at least in my approach, I ask people to make one change at a time anyway.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can see. Right.
Yeah. One change at a time so that it sticks and becomes part of your life, and then it becomes easy. Just like, this is just something I do. And then when you add the next thing on, you know, you work with that until it becomes just something you do, and you can change your life that way, you know? And the other neat thing is, like, if you, you know, came to me and you said, look, I have some trouble digesting garlic or onions, we can start right there. And it would lead to the next thing, and it would lead to the next thing, and it would lead to the next thing. And it would, you know, because it's all connected, right? So you can start wherever you want.
Just that specific.
It'll end up in the right place. Yeah.
Yeah. I have go on.
So, I just wanted to clarify really quickly. I said a blend, and I didn't really expand on that. And the reason I sort of planted that seed is that globally and historically, herbs are used in blends. And like the modern idea is like the herb for the ailment, the herb for the thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's a little bit of an allopathic approach to, like, you know, Advil for headaches, or, you know, basically the pill for an ill. So with herbalism, a lot of times you will get a blend, and that's great because you have a better chance of efficacy. A lot of times the plants work in synergy. So it's like,
that makes sense.
You know, 1 + 1 = 4.
Yeah.
So I had to plant that little seed in there.
No, I'm so mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that, because that makes sense of, you know, when you know these terms not everybody's familiar with, but it makes sense that you would blend herbs to support one another that support your health. You know, mm-hmm. I lived in New York for a couple of years, and I just always, I think, walking around that city, just admired people that were entrepreneurs, that created businesses, that had the courage to kind of take that step and have, especially like a little shop like yours. So I admire you for that. Like how was that challenging for you? Can you tell us a little bit just about becoming someone who's a business owner and, you know, that,
right.
that area of the world, New York City
in
or Brooklyn,
city.
I think it's
That's
in.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So challenging. So challenging.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Like no hesitation. Just, I'm like laughing because it was so hard, and it's so rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, I came here to do something. Like, I didn't know what it was, but I came here to meet that challenge. I wanted, it to be, you know, difficult, because I knew that the reward would be great if I could do it. And I didn't, you know, for a long time, didn't know if I could even make it here. And it was just a lot of work and a lot of, trusting myself to know that I didn't know exactly where I was headed, but I knew that the direction was right. And, you know, saying yes to everything in the beginning and just, like hustle and flow for a long time. And eventually, you know, it clarifies and it crystallizes and it becomes more clear what it is. And, you know, my title changed so many times. So I didn't, you know, switch from like account director to herbalist. It was like kind of this big, you know, independent health coach with an herbal bend and a witch side, like, you know, figuring it out.
Yeah.
So
many identity shifts, it sounds like. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. So you're learning about yourself at the same time. And obviously my business is built around me. So there's all these like interesting, you know, nuances of where do you end and where does supernatural begin? And
how do you brand yourself and all of that? We always talk about that, Marcia and I. Mm-hmm.
I like what you said, that you knew that you went there to do something. You just weren't quite sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I love when I hear things like that, because that's just, to me, it's just such an inner calling. And when you've had that experience, you can recognize it in someone else. And it's like, yes, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just feel like you're called to do something. You're led to do something. And it's just a matter of, like you said, showing up every single day, saying yes, and just seeing, you know, staying curious about what is this going to end up being. You know, I love that story. And I really believe that women just have that inherently, because now it's like you look back and you've done it. It's like, it's amazing. You're doing it. Yeah.
It does finally feel like that. And that, you know, is a reward every minute of every day. And I definitely don't take it for granted. I'm in the moments now of like, I love this. It has worked. It's working. So
yeah,
it's pretty special.
Rochelle, I like, you know, I'm always trying to, you know, I could come up with new ways for my clients and just professionally and personally of ways to, you know, increase self-care or, you know, like just some things to self-soothe. What are some of the things that you do that maybe you can impart some wisdom for our listeners on how to, like, maybe just something that you, how you take care of yourself? How do you self-soothe? How do you unwind at the end of the day? What are some of your self-care practices?
Well, I exercise for me is number one. I love fitness so much. And to me, it's my mental health. It's my physical health. I have to do it. I want to do it. So I do that every day. And,
what kind of exercise do you do? Like classes, or do you walk or run, or do you hike? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm a big runner. So big runner. I like yoga a lot. I'm actually out of my yoga practice right now, but I'm a big fan of Ashtanga and have gone through phases where that is what I'm doing on a regular basis. I recently got a Peloton, and I have to say that I'm pretty obsessed.
That's great. Spinning is fun.
Situation.
Yeah,
so fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But really, like, and then the gym, you know, before the Peloton, I was at the gym multiple days a week. So it's like strength training, running. It's pretty, just pretty straightforward for me. I like to do it solo. I don't do classes because it feels like my time to just go and really, yeah, like let it out. So that's a big one. I don't compromise sleep. So, you know, even when I'm really busy, that just that's a non-negotiable.
Very good.
So Eric and I were just talking about that, like,
you're getting
ago.
A pluses. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That's right. Oh, we agree.
I haven't read. I'm glad. Yeah. I haven't read that. Why We Sleep, or how would, is it Why We Sleep? That book. That's just,
oh, it's amazing.
Like, everybody's read it right now.
It's scary to see how, you know, not getting sleep. I always say this when I do my workshops, like, you know, sleep deprivation was used as a form of torture. I mean, it's so interesting how our brain starts to shut down and our bodies start to shut down. And you know, obviously, like, it's all connected, but sleep is, it's the foundation for our health, basically.
Everything.
Yeah. Along with self-love and everything else, but, you know, yeah, one of the
sleep
ones.
Sleep hygiene, that's a new thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a big one. I think, you know, the other thing that comes to mind that I think is one more self-care practice that I really just try to implement throughout the day is to be really selective about my information inputs. So, like, managing, you know, how much time I'm spending on Instagram or looking at a screen or listening, even listening. Retreats have taught me this. Like, even listening to podcasts or the radio or music or anything, like, all of that input, at least in my brain, once it's in there, you know, it's bouncing around.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, that's a lot. And so sometimes, you know, I don't listen to anything extra to just minimize another input. Or at the end of the day, you know, I don't turn on music. Or so really, really, this is a newer practice for me, but really trying to limit how many times I see my inbox, how many new ideas I hear, you know, in a day. That kind of thing can be a relief, I think, mm-hmm. when the intensity of the daily grind is really high.
It's like a cleanse. So. It's like a cleanse, really.
Little bit, yeah.
One other question. Oh, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna
we have so many
baths,
questions.
Baths.
Sorry.
And,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, what about, like, bath and herbs? I just remember when I started working at treatment centers and counseling and seeing, like, you know, five clients a day, and it was a lot of energy from others, you know, and I was, you know, super tired and burnout. And I remember it was very helpful for me at the end of the day, like 4 o'clock when I got home, to just take a hot bath. And I started to try to, like, use these herbal bath bombs, you know, there's all these, but I was just mm-hmm. thinking oils and herbs, and is that helpful? Like, if I'm someone who likes to take a bath, or would you recommend incorporating anything like that?
Yes, absolutely. So, it's not my practice, but to use herbs in baths, or even to, like, dry brush and then use an oil, or to burn herbs to kind of clean yourself or your space. All of that's fantastic. Yeah. And definitely, a traditional use of the herbs for sure. And you said it, you know, when you're working with other people and you feel like you collect that, it's a great way to let it go. Yeah.
One of the things I wanted to ask about, just as a follow-up, when you were saying that, you know, you have a website with some online classes, et cetera, do you have, are there support groups that, you know, people can sort of, you know, meet offline or come together and discuss their experiences? It seems like something that would be kind of fun to have, you know, some peers to do a journey with, you know, I've tried this or they've tried that. Where can people find, you know, groups like that if they want to investigate?
Yeah, I really like that idea.
It is a great idea.
Yeah, I do currently, but it's going away at the top of the year just because we're changing some things. So if you have taken a class of mine, then you got invited to a private Facebook group. And that was a place where you could all connect and share your experiences. But we're changing that. So the closest thing would be, you know, our live events or Instagram, but otherwise there's not really, like, a closed group like that in my ecosystem. I think the what I would recommend would be sort of other Facebook groups, probably.
Yeah. There's a lot that's great advice.
Focused on. Yeah.
And so your herbal gummies, can you tell everybody just a little bit about your product line of herbal gummies? And then also I just wanted to, another question is, I get inundated with, people that want to share their gummies or their, I guess capsules. And it's like right now, I feel like it's a hot, this hot kind of trend to learn about ashwagandha, and all these names of herbs get thrown out there, and I don't think people really understand truly what they are. I think they're just like buzzwords. Mm-hmm. And does that bother you? That's the way I kind of have noticed this I think it's like an industry right now where it's just everybody's trending towards, these like adaptogenic, it keeps getting thrown out. And so, can you tell me your thoughts on that? And then tell everybody about also your product line, because I feel like, you definitely are authentically bringing the public something that would be helpful.
I'm so glad you brought that up. So we'll start with the trendy adaptogens. And yes, it bothers me. on the one hand, I'm very glad that the awareness is rising about herbs and adaptogens. And like, even if people don't know what they are, at least it's a fine line, but it's like, at least they're saying it and they're kind of curious and maybe they're trying them and maybe they're working. The part that I wouldn't say it doesn't make me angry, but it is annoying, is that it's, there's so much misinformation about adaptogens and herbs that unfortunately a lot of people are learning about them, and they're learning incorrect, information about them, and maybe not using them in the right way. And so then maybe they're not working. And so then someone is saying herbs don't work, or ashwagandha doesn't work for me. So it's tricky, which would you prefer? But basically, let's see. I think the high level thing.
Just be careful, or
Oh yeah. I always recommend that people read ingredients over the marketing claims on packages. I know it's hard not to buy the thing that says it's adaptogenic, but really at this point, even companies that seem really reputable are misusing that term and misusing herbs, and it's pretty rampant. So no real harm is being done in terms of, you're going to hurt yourself. It's a little messy right now.
Maybe not working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my advice is, is to, read the ingredients and try to, if you're buying herbs, try to buy herbs from companies that are, either herbalist owned, operated, or they have an herbalist on staff, like an herbalist is actually formulating the products, then you're, on the right track for sure. Because if an herbalist put together, I'm looking at an herbal coffee blend right now that I love, that I know an herbalist made, even though the company is not founded by herbalists, and the product's fantastic, because somebody knew what they were doing, as opposed to a trail mix that happens to say it also has ashwagandha in it.
Right.
Do they know how much? Are they, are they dosing it right? Probably not. So, not the biggest deal, but, and then I think the last thing that might be helpful to know about adaptogens is, herbs, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of herbs. And we discover it's 2,000 more every year. Adaptogen is a very, very small category of herbs. It's about 18 to 20. And it's just one category, and there are dozens of categories. So it's like saying, another category would be a sedative or an antidepressant or something that helps you with your digestion. So the world is very excited about the term adaptogen, but it's not any better than the term, sedative or nerving. These are herbs that like your nervous system, or, it became a buzzword. And so people sort of think that adaptogen means the best herbs, whereas it really just means these 18 herbs that happen to have this specific function. So It might get a little, we get into the weeds there, so I'll leave it there. But
I guess it's like you said, though, it's like because it's becoming more a part of, you know, the culture, a part of our daily lives, people are using these words, probably like you were just saying, like out of context or, you know, to mean something that they actually don't. But it's like, I guess from what you're saying is at least people are talking about this, even if it's not like, you know, exactly right. You know what I mean? It's like when I was growing up, I never heard of yoga, you know, and then, you know, as I got into my 20s, everybody started talking about yoga. I never heard of that. I mean, we played, you know, like softball and kickball, but now like it just becomes part of the vernacular and you start to, you know, learn and incorporate. Exactly.
Yeah. And then eventually you're like, okay, I like Ashtanga, and somebody else is like, I don't care. I just like whatever kind of yoga, and it's all, you know, it eventually settles into. So I think that's where we're headed.
So tell us about your gummies if you can. I just wanted to hear about them because I like gummies and I take like elderberry gummies or I've been sent different kinds of gummies, but I think it's a great way to kind of eat the herbs and also like probably, like you said, focus on one. It seems like on your site or when I was looking at your products, it seems like you have them specifically for each ailment or issue.
So you're totally right. The reason that I did gummies, probably 3 or maybe almost 4 years ago now was because I work so much with food and, you know, all those notes about herbalism being holistic. I also wanted it to be accessible. So it's like, how, you know, can people have herbs, in a way that is easy? And if you're brand new to herbs and you don't want to deal with like a powder or a tincture, everybody knows what to do with a gummy, right? I mean, we get it. So
that's right.
And
it's
the
true.
And so, you know, then the challenge for me was, how do we make a gummy actually effective? Because it's a small little thing and you gotta, you know, get a lot of herbs in there to make it actually, you know, work. So, I worked with somebody I worked with a chef who helped formulate the recipe with me from the like gummy standpoint. And then I did the herbal formulation and we have 3. So there's Nerveless, and Nerveless is for stress and anxiety relief. And the blend is specifically made so that you can have them any time of day. They're non-sedative. So if you need to, like, if you're like wake up anxious, you know, what can you have to calm down, but not, you know, be knocked out, you can have Nerveless. Then there's Everyday Endurance, which is energy, brain health, a little bit of metabolism in there. It's all these kind of energizing herbs. You could use it, you know, in place of coffee, pre-workout, anytime you just feel like you need a little lift. That one I really went for it. This was our second product, so I got to add in a bunch more herbs in that one. And then the newest, which just launched a couple months ago, is Digestness. And it is basically digestive herbal bitters. It's like a blend that you take, especially before meals, to help turn your digestion on. It's super delicious. And so they're honey, apple pectin, herbs. There's no gum, no waxes, no gelatin, no, like none of that stuff. They're like a food gummy. We use, you know, tarragon and ginger and fennel and tangerine, like all these really beautiful ingredients. It's more sophisticated than like strawberry, grape, and watermelon or something. We really went for adult flavor profiles. So.
No, that sounds amazing. Sounds amazing. Yeah. Love everything you're doing.
That
it's
is
fabulous.
So fabulous. Me too. Mm. Well, we're coming up on the end of our time. And I just want to thank you again for being here and sharing with us.
Yeah. So helpful.
You know, we've enjoyed it so much. Erica, so good. Mm-hmm. So good. We love all our guests, but every now and again, we have a guest that's just like, you're just speaking to the heart. And it's just really, it feels really clear that you love what you're doing and you're doing it with the intention to help people. And I just admire that so much. So thank you again for being here. Where can our audience find you? If they're looking for you on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, LinkedIn, Twitter, what
do
you got?
Give them your info.
So you can find me. You can find All the Supernatural at urSupernatural.com, and that's the letter U, the letter R, supernatural.com. And then you can find me on Instagram, Rochelle Robinette, on Instagram. Supernatural is there too. You'll find everything from those two places. We have a newsletter. It's all there. It's all there.
Awesome. And your online store is listed there as well?
Yep. The online store is there. The herbal gummies are there. Our cafe is there. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we have one last question, and this is what Erica and I call our deep dive question. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay, Rochelle, what is your superpower?
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's see.
We need to have the Jeopardy music while people are thinking, Erica.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. It's like I have one thing that comes to mind initially, and then there's like all these others that bubble up. But my hypnotherapist friend says, go with your first.
Yeah.
Your first.
Yeah.
So the first thing that came to mind was resourcefulness. This ability to, you know, if there's an obstacle or if there's not a way, we're gonna make a way. So
I love that, and that's why.
What was the second one? Just curious. What was one more?
The second one was, let's say there was a tie between grit and intuition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Love all those.
Intuition.
So you're a very resilient person.
Yeah, and that's why she has a place in New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
What is it they say? If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yes, that's true.
But you know that already.
Fun question.
So fun.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. And until next week, to our listening audience, take care of yourselves this week and be well.